Morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you today. It's cold outside, but it's warm in here. I'm so glad you came. I love you all, and it's always a pleasure to see you. And we're praying for those who couldn't make it here today for whatever the reason, but we know for a lot of folks, when it's looking like that outside, it's not a good idea for them to journey anywhere. And so praying that God will touch the lives of those who couldn't make it here today, and we can do our part to reach out to folks around us and say, hey, love you, sorry you couldn't make it, but looking forward to seeing you when the weather gets better. I'm feeling better this week. It's been a wonderful month since Christmas, where I came here and I had the pink eye and I couldn't touch anything or look at anyone or all that stuff, and I graciously passed it to Ryan, and Ryan graciously passed it to Mommy, and Mommy graciously passed it to Molly, and so we went through the whole family with the crud. But thanks be to God, we're on the mend, looking forward to getting back out into the world and being human again, and maybe get the house cleaned up. The kids have destroyed everything. But it is good to be with you, and good to go into God's Word this morning and look at the Gospel according to John, the first chapter beginning with the 29th verse. I'm going to invite you to stand with me, body, mind, heart, spirit, attuned to the Gospel of Jesus Christ today. Hear these words. The next day, I love when a passage starts like that. The next day, this was after John had seen the dove come upon Jesus, and he understood that this person who he'd known his whole life, his cousin, Jesus, was the Lamb of God, the Son of the Most High. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain upon him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify," says John, "that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What would you ask? What do you want? What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," Jesus replied, "and I will show you. You will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. I love John. Such a random detail. It was 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, Peter, and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit that we might hear with joy what you say to us today. May I decrease that you increase in this time today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever fulfilled your life's ambition? Is there anyone here who fulfilled their life's ambition. Oh, come on. Somebody in here has fulfilled their life's ambition. You're not going to reach the grave having not accomplished great goals in your life. Maybe the great ambition of your life was to have children and to have a lovely family and to see those children be born and to raise them and to raise them up in the faith and then to push them out of the nest and to see them go out into the world and do things. Maybe they don't always do great things. In fact, maybe sometimes you'd rather they didn't do the things that they do, but you've done a great life's work, a great ambition. You've achieved a great goal in life. Maybe a goal in your life is to achieve great work in your career. To climb the corporate ladder, to reach the top of the what you expected to do with your career in life, and that looks different for everyone. Maybe for some it's a prestigious title. Maybe it's a nice salary. Maybe it's simply the boss saying, "I'm so proud of you. You've done great work. Good job." Maybe a life's ambition might be to go and see places, go out into the world and to experience things. Barb and I did that a couple of summers ago when the Penguins won the Stanley Cup. And Barb said, "I have to go to the parade." And I said, "I'm going, Barb." And we went and watched the carry the Stanley Cup. And was that a great moment? That was great. I will always remember that wonderful trip. And we're going to do it again this summer. This week, in fact, today, later on, 53 people on a team and their coaches and their staffs will all be working together to reach a great goal, to reach the pinnacle of their career, the Super Bowl in just a couple of weeks. And as they work together, encouraging each other, supporting each other, and helping each other toward those goals. You'll see, if you watch that, at the end, the great celebration. We made it to the big show, and the trophy is there, and all the confetti and the parade. It's a wonderful thing to work toward a goal and to reach it. And then, if they win the next game, the Super Bowl, even more accolades, even more accomplishment to reach your life's goal, whatever that is just a wonderful place to be. Oh, I hear the fire whistle. Let's pray right now. God, we pray for whatever it is that fire whistle's going off for, that whether it's somebody in distress or need, that you will be with them right now, and you'll be with those who are going because of that whistle to respond to the situation there, that you will keep everyone safe and allow a peace to come over the situation in Jesus' name. Amen. You've reached your life goals. I thought I had reached one of my life's goals when I was running a little store, Vicelli's, and I had the highest sales increase, and they sent me on a cruise with Kristen, and what a wonderful time that was. And I sat back on the deck of that boat and said, "I did it! I accomplished what I set out to do. I made my store into a store that the company can be proud of." But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough because really, that wasn't my life's goal. My life's goal was something else, that in the midst of that boat ride, that wonderful trip across the water, was that my life's goal was more in tune with John the Baptist's than it was with Verrill Ablack, the owner of the company. And my goal is that I be one who could say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That my goal in life is to be one who points people to Jesus. And to do that is my passion, my goal in life. To help people who have come to experience Jesus in their life in a way that transforms them so that they become Christians and members of a church that I can help them to help others to fulfill that dream. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist, in this passage, has reached his life's goal. He did it. He'd known Jesus. He was his cousin, and he was older than Jesus by several months, and grew up with Jesus. And he says, "I didn't know he was the one. I didn't know him. I didn't know this was the Messiah until he came into that water, and when that lamb a lamb didn't fall on him. My goodness, that dove came and rested upon him." That was when I knew. That was what God had told me, the one who had sent me to baptize. I've been looking all along. Yes, it was great to do the baptisms for the people. I loved doing that. That was wonderful work, and I got to do and meet incredible people. I got to scold the Pharisees. I got to do all these great things. But that life's goal, to be able to point to the Messiah, is what I've been waiting for, and I got to experience that. And here he is in the Jordan River in the wilderness, and people from all over have come to be his disciples. And we know a couple of them. Andrew and John are the ones in this passage, these disciples. They are from up north in Galilee. What are they doing down here in the wilderness, which is not Galilee? In fact, it's pretty far away, about 70 miles. Well, they've experienced the work of Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives that has pushed them to be among John's disciples. And they're not home. And probably we think of the disciples as old men. You know, but rugged men in their 30s, 40s. Well, a man in his 30s and 40s isn't looking for a teacher, a rabbi. He's already done all that. So I tend to think of the disciples as in their teens, early 20s at the most. It kind of changes my perspective on some of some of the stupid things they do, because, you know, when I was in my teens and 20s, I might have done some stupid things. You think so? No, not that bad. And so when Jesus is walking along and the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest among them, and Jesus turns around and says, "What are you arguing about?" And they all go, "Nothing." I can't see like 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds doing that, but I could see some teenagers and some 20-year-olds saying, no, that's nothing. So Andrew and John are probably teens, early 20s at the most. John, definitely, he's one of the youngest disciples. He's in his teens, maybe 14, 15 years old. We don't think of those beloved disciples as young men, but that's how I'm picturing them. And there's their mentor, John, who they have followed, they have listened to, they have soaked in his teachings. That's a pretty strong commitment. But when John says, "There is the Lamb, there is the Messiah," what do? They go and they follow Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that John has been preparing them for. And off they go to follow Jesus. And then sometimes I wonder, what was John thinking? He's like, "Man, I just lost my disciples." It would be like me telling you, "Hey, there it is, the great church down the road. Go," and you would all leave. But for John, that was not the case. John was not thinking, "Oh no, they all left." John is thinking, "Hallelujah! Praise be to God, because now I have not only pointed out the Lamb of God, but I have told others about him, and I have sent them to be with this one who I know is the Messiah. The reason that I came, the reason that I baptized, was to build this moment where I could send those boys off to be with this one who I know is the Lamb." And what does Jesus do? He turns around, like, what do you want? I got these people following me. What are you doing back there? What do you want? Well, we're coming with you. Imagine, Brett, you're walking along and you turn around and there's a couple of kids. It's like, what do you want? We're coming with you. We want to see what you're doing. We want to go where you're going. And so they go with Jesus and they see Jesus isn't from that area. He's probably staying somewhere, probably in somebody's house, and they come to know him and begin this relationship that'll change their lives forever. And I love how this ends. I love how this passage ends. What else can Andrew do but then go and be John the Baptist for his brother? Where Andrew goes and says, I can't keep this to myself. I know I've met the Messiah. I've met the one who the Old Testament passages talked about. I've met the one who's going to change the world. I've got to tell my brother. And he goes and he tells Peter. Well, he wasn't Peter at the time. He was Simon. I've seen the Lord. I've met him. Come, be with me and join me. And so Peter comes and Jesus takes him in. And I don't picture Peter as quite as young. Peter was married, but they married young in those days. So maybe Peter's in his 20s, late 20s at the very, very latest, but still a young man. And now Jesus has this crew, this motley crew of young people who are listening to him because somebody in their life, whether it was John, whether it was Andrew, said to them, look, there he is. There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There he is. Life's ambition. Life's ambition. What's yours? What's yours? I could think of no better one for you than to be John the Baptist in somebody's life, to be Andrew, that disciple in somebody's life, to be the one in somebody's life, whether it's your kids, whether it's your grandkids, whether it's a stranger on the street, whether it's somebody at your work, whether it's somebody who you don't even know today, but God will introduce into your life sometime in the next week. To be able to be the one that says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It always looks different for everybody. But everybody gets a chance in their life to be John the Baptist. Everybody gets a chance in their life to be Andrew. At some point, God's throwing somebody in your life. Maybe they're people who look up to you, like Andrew and John looked up to John the Baptist. So that when John said, look, the Lamb of God, they trusted John and were able to go. Maybe it's like Peter, the older brother of Andrew, who hears that word, and you trust your family. You trust somebody who you've grown up with, who's close to you. But we know that Jesus is going to tell these boys to leave their nets and become fishers of people, and they're going to do that. When they go back home and they start living their lives again, Jesus won't let them go. And Jesus isn't going to let you go either. What's your life's ambition? I pray that it is that you will be John the Baptist. You will be Andrew. You will be somebody who points to Jesus. However that'll look in your life, that you'll be one who says, there he is. And that someone's life will be transformed because you were willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.